When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
Just you wait, Henry Higgins, just you wait. You'll be sorry, but your tears will be too light. You'll be broken, I'll have money. Will I help you, dandy funny? Just you wait, Henry Higgins, just you wait. Just you wait, Henry Higgins, till you're sick. And you scream to fetch a doctor double quick. I'll be off a second lighter and go straight to the theater. Ho, ho, Henry Higgins, just you wait. Oh, Henry Higgins, just you wait until we're swimming in the sea. Oh, Henry Higgins, and you get a cramp a little way from me. When you yell you're going to drown, I'll get dressed and go to town. Ah, ha, ha. Henry Higgins, oh ho ho, Henry Higgins, just you wait. One day I'll be famous, I'll be proper and prim. Go to St. James so often, I will call it St. Jim. One evening the king will say, oh Liza, old thing, I want all of England your praises to sing. Next week on the 20th of May, I proclaim Liza Doolittle Day. All the people will celebrate the glory of you, and whatever you wish and want, I gladly will do. Thanks a lot, King, says I, in a manner well bred, but all I want is Henry Higgins Ed. Done, says the king with a stroke. God run and ring in the bloke. Then they'll march you and ring into the wall. And the king will tell me lies a sound the call. As they lift their rifles higher, I'll shout ready, aim, fire. Oh ho ho!
Well, Eliza, old girl, your wish came true. Hi, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting. The king said that it would be on the 20th of May that it would be Eliza Doolittle Day. And so here we are, sharing an hour together on the 20th of May. That doesn't happen very often. So today, of course, will be Eliza Doolittle Day. And what do you do on Eliza Doolittle Day? That's hard to say. What do you do on Eliza Doolittle Day? You celebrate My Fair Lady, that classic 1956 musical by Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowe that revolutionized the American musical theater. Now, if you know a bit about the American musical theater, you know that it took a long time to adapt George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion to the musical stage. Rumor has it that Rodgers and Hammerstein tried and failed, and that the property was offered to Cole Porter, Burton Lane, Harold Arlen, a number of composers and lyricists, and they all turned it down. And Alan J. Lerner was obsessed as far back as 1952 with turning it into a musical. Lerner was one of the more literate, intelligent lyricist librettists, and he saw the challenge that there was in turning essentially a 1912 play by Shaw, which is a socialist tract about inequity as it's manifest through the distance and the English language, into a romantic play. But he put his shoulder to the wheel and with his collaborator Frederick Lowe did some very inventive things with some tremendous collaborators and proved more than equal to the challenge. course, the story of My Fair Lady, as Pygmalion was as well, is the story of the teacher and phoneticist Henry Higgins, a rather arrogant, self-centered fellow, who strikes a wager with his friend Colonel Pickering that he can turn, quote, a draggle-tailed gutter snipe into a duchess by teaching her the king's English. And he settles on a Cockney flower girl named Eliza Doolittle, and the result is one of the most charming Cinderella stories of the 20th century, certainly one of the most commercially successful. So let's go to the beginning of My Fair Lady, where we're introduced to the character of Henry Higgins outside of Covent Garden, where he bewails the woes of the misuse of the English language. We're going to hear a studio recording with Jeremy Irons, of all people. It's about 20 years old, and if you listen very carefully, you can hear two lines spoken by one of the greatest actors in the English language. See if you can guess who he is, and we'll compare notes afterwards. Here's Why Can't the English?
Look at her, a prisoner of the gutters, condemned by every syllable she utters. By right, she should be taken out and hung for the cold-blooded murder of the English tongue.
Ow!
Ow! Heavens, what a noise. This is what the British population calls an elementary education.
Come, sir, I think you picked a poor example.
Did I? Hear them down in Soho Square, dropping H's everywhere, speaking English any way they like. You, sir, did you go to school?
What did I before, fool?
No one taught him take instead of tyke. Hear a Yorkshireman or worse, hear a Cornishman converse. I'd rather hear a choir singing flat. Chickens cackling in a barn, just like this one.
Gone.
Gone. I ask you, sir, what sort of word is that? It's ow and garn that keep her in her place. Not her wretched clothes and dirty face. Why can't the English teach their children how to speak? This verbal class distinction by now should be antique. If you spoke as she does, sir, instead of the way you do, why, you might be selling flowers too.
Beg your pardon, sir?
An Englishman's way of speaking absolutely classifies him. The moment he talks, he makes some other Englishman despise him. One common language I'm afraid we'll never get. Oh, why can't the English learn to set a good example to people whose English is painful to your ears? The Scotch and the Irish leave you close to tears. There even are places where English completely disappears. In America, they haven't used it for years. Why can't the English teach their children how to speak? Norwegians learn Norwegian. The Greeks are taught their Greek. In France, every Frenchman knows his language from A to Z. The French never care what they do, actually, as long as they pronounce it properly. Arabians learn Arabian with the speed of summer lightning. The Hebrews learn it backwards, which is absolutely frightening. But use proper English, you're regarded as a freak. Oh, why can't the English? Why can't the English learn to speak?
Did you guess who our guest actor was saying the lines of Colonel Pickering? That great actor was Sir John Gielgud.
Come, sir, I think you picked a poor example.
As far as I know, that's the only musical theater recording that John Gielgud ever made. Did you also know there was a lyric in that song that Alan J. Lerner loved but was forced to cut? I think it was, "In Norway there are legions of illiterate Norwegians." I thought that was a little too much, even for Henry Higgins. Well, we know our story in My Fair Lady is that the flower girl he talks about is Eliza Doolittle. And Eliza Doolittle has dreams of her own that have nothing to do with being taught the king's English, let alone being the star of a musical comedy. All she wants is a room somewhere. And My Fair Lady, as popular a show as it is not recorded in cover recordings by a lot of people. But one of the loveliest cover recordings is by a jazz artist I love named Cassandra Wilson. And here's her version of Wouldn't It Be Loverly.
All I want is a room somewhere. far away from the cold night air, with one enormous chair. Oh, wouldn't that be lovely? Lots of chocolate for me to eat, lots of cold burning, lots of heat, warm face, warm hands, warm feet. Oh, wouldn't that be lovely? Oh, so lovely, sitting up so blooming, blooming still. I would never budge till spring crept over the window sill, not till someone said resting on my knee, warm and tender as he can be, who takes good care of me. Oh, wouldn't that be lovely, 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 but that be lovely. I want it to be somewhere far away from the cold night air, with one enormous chair. Oh, wouldn't that be lovely? Lots of chocolate for me to eat, and lots of cold and lots of heat, warm face, warm hands, warm feet. Oh, wouldn't that be lovely? Oh, so lovely, sitting up so blooming, blooming still. I would never budge till spring crept over the window sill, someone's head resting on my knee, warm and tender as he can be, who takes good care of me. Oh, wouldn't that be lovely, 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 wouldn't that be lovely? Lovely, sitting up so blooming, lovely still. Oh, I would never budge till spring crept over the window sill, someone's head resting on my knee, warm and tender as he can be, who takes good care of me. Oh, would that lovely, lovely, but I'm that near lovely. Wouldn't that be lovely? Wouldn't that be lovely?
Loverly Cassandra Wilson. When Alan J. Lerner teamed up with the director Moss Hart to produce My Fair Lady, they knew they needed a leading man of considerable substance and renown. Rumor has it they went first to Noel Coward, who turned them down. And then they went to the actor, whom Noel Coward said, that if he weren't the greatest living comedian of the English language, the only thing he'd be good for doing was selling used cars on Great Portland Street. That was the film and stage actor Rex Harrison. Now, Rex Harrison famously had never done a musical, had never sung in public when he took on the role of Henry Higgins, and this caused some consternation and rehearsal, but ultimately, of course, it was a triumph for Sexy Rexy. It made him an international star, and of course, he played the lead in the movie. We're going to hear Higgins' second big song in the show. This is taken from the London cast recording with Rex Harrison. He'd had a chance to do it for almost 2 years, and I think he exhibits a kind of felicity and flexibility in the role 2 years down the road that he didn't quite have a week after he opened on Broadway. So here's Rex Harrison telling us that he's never met a man of good character where women are concerned.
Find the moment I let a woman make friends with me, she becomes jealous, exacting, suspicious, and a damn nuisance. And I find the moment that I make friends with a woman, I become selfish and tyrannical. So here I am, a confirmed old bachelor, and likely to remain so. Well, after all, Pickering, I'm an ordinary man who desires nothing more than just an ordinary chance to live exactly as he likes and do precisely what he wants. An average man am I, of no eccentric whim, who likes to live his life free of strife, doing whatever he thinks is best for him. Well, just an ordinary man. But let a woman in your life and your serenity is through. She'll redecorate your home from the cellar to the dome, then go on to the enthralling fun of overhauling you. Let a woman in your life, and you're up against a wall. Make a plan and you will find she has something else in mind, and so rather than do either, you do something else that neither likes at all. You want to talk of Keats or Milton. She only wants to talk of love. You go to see a play or ballet and spend it searching for her glove. Let a woman in your life and you invite eternal strife. Let them buy their wedding bands for those anxious little hands. I'd be equally as willing for a dentist to be drilling than to ever let a woman in my life. Gentleman, even-tempered and good-natured, whom you never hear complain, who has the milk of human kindness by the quart in every vein, a patient man am I, down to my fingertips, the sort who never would, ever could, let an insulting remark escape his lips. A very gentleman. Let a woman in your life, and patience hasn't got a chance. She will beg you for advice, your reply will be concise, and she'll listen very nicely, then go out and do precisely what she wants. You are a man of grace and polish, who never spoke above a hush. Now all at once you're using language that would make a sailor blush. Let a woman in your life, and you're plunging in a knife. Let the others of my sex tie the knot around their necks. I'd prefer a new edition of the Spanish Inquisition than to ever let a woman in my life. I'm a quiet living man who prefers to spend the evenings in the silence of his room, who likes an atmosphere as restful as an undiscovered tomb, a pensive man am I, of philosophic joys, who likes to meditate, contemplate, free from humanity's mad inhuman noise. Just a quiet living man. But let a woman in your life, and your sabbatical is through. In a line that never ends, come an army of her friends, come to jabber and to chatter and to tell her what the matter is with you. She'll have a booming, boisterous family who'll descend on you en masse. She'll have a large Wagnerian mother with
a voice that shatters glass. Let a woman in your life. Let a woman in your life. I shall never let a woman in my life.
Well, once Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowe and Moss Hart signed up Rex Harrison, they had to look for an Eliza Doolittle. I think Mary Martin's name was bruited about briefly, but they really wanted someone who was young and preferably unknown, and they found her in a career-making moment. A British actress named Julie Andrews, whom on the East End here we all know and love, as does everyone know and love Julie Andrews. She had been in a British import called The Boyfriend and stuck around for a season or two seeing what would happen with My Fair Lady. She was offered the lead of Pipe Dream, a Rodgers and Hammerstein show that was coming down the pike. She held out for My Fair Lady, thankfully, because Pipe Dream folded quickly, and My Fair Lady is one of the great hits of the 20th century. So here's the moment where Eliza realizes that she can actually master the King's English, and maybe she's fallen a little bit in love with Henry Higgins. Here's Julie Andrews from that wonderful original cast album.
My head's too light to try to set it down. Sleep, sleep, I couldn't sleep tonight. Not for all the jewels in the crown. I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night. And still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done before. I'll never know what made it so exciting, why all at once my heart took flight. I only know when he began to dance with me, I could have danced, danced, danced all night.
It's after three now. Don't you agree now? She ought to be in bed.
I could have danced.
You're tired out.
All night.
You must be dead.
I could have danced.
Your face is drawn. Your eyes are red. Now say goodnight, please. Turn out the light, please. It's really time for you to be in bed.
I could have spent
to come alone. Do as you're told. Or Mrs. Pierce is apt to stir. You're up too late, miss, and sure as fate, miss, you can't afford.
I'll never know what made it so exciting, why all at once my heart took flight. I only
put down your book, the word will keep you. Now settle down and go to sleep. But now it's time to sleep.
I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night. And still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done before. I'll never know what made it so exciting, why all at once my heart took flight. I only know when he began to dance with me, I could have done.
Thank you.
Julie Andrews, career-making moment in the American theater. My Fair Lady was one of the most tremendously successful commercial properties of the 20th century, but unlike some of the earlier successful musicals, say by Rodgers and Hammerstein, like Oklahoma or Carousel, it didn't necessarily spawn a lot of top 10 tunes. Probably the British milieu had something to do with it, and probably the fact that Lerner and Lowe's songs were so wonderfully specific to the situation made it hard to break out and have a slightly more generic hit. That being said, the jazz industry kind of fell in love with My Fair Lady, maybe more than the pop industry. And we're going to hear two cuts together. One was from a very successful album of jazz covers of My Fair Lady, performed by Andre Previn and Shelley Mann. Andre Previn would go on to actually be one of Lerner's composers for a show called Coco in 1969, and then a swingin' version of the show's biggest hit by Mel Torme. But first, here's the stolid Ascot Gavotte, Swung Mightily, by Andre Previn and Shelley Mann.
Thank you. often walked down the street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live. Are there lilac trees in the heart of town? Can you hear a lark in any other part of town? Does enchantment pour out of every door? No, it's just on the street where you live. And oh, the towering feeling just to know somehow you are near. The overpowering feeling that any second you may suddenly appear. Oh, stop and stare, they do not bother me, for there's nowhere else on earth that I would rather be. Let the time go by, I won't care if I can be here on the street, here on the street, here on the street. And oh, the towering feeling, the overpowering feeling. People stop and stare, but they're never gonna bother me. There's nowhere else on earth that I would rather be. Let the time go by, I won't care if I can be here on the street where you, 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 here on the street where you. Shoo-ba-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-do street where you live.
I ask you, sir, what kind of noise is that? Well, that's the noise of Mel Torme scatting like nobody's business. Hello, I'm Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street. It's the 20th of May, which we all know is Eliza Doolittle Day, and so we're spending time in tribute to that wonderful musical, My Fair Lady. We're here at 88.3 FM, PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org, and the street where we live is Hill Street in Southampton. And if you get a moment or two and you love this kind of music, and I know you do or you wouldn't be tuning in, you can check out our podcasts on PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org, or even better, you can make a contribution to this wonderful station. And talking about Cinderella stories, talking about, I don't know, being covered with glory and money and all that wonderful stuff, we know that the climax of Act One of My Fair Lady is when Eliza, dressed up in her best refinery, is taken to the embassy ball by Henry Higgins and charms everyone. My Fair Lady seems to be that perfect musical, and you would hardly think that something could be added or detracted from it, but there is a song that was cut from My Fair Lady, a couple, actually, but one that we have recorded by Alan J. Lerner called Come to the Ball, sung by Higgins before Eliza's debut at the embassy. So we're going to play that, and we're going to follow that with the Embassy Waltz, which is a very beautiful piece of, what would I say, Viennoiserie, written by Frederick Lowe, which isn't in the original cast album, but makes an appearance in the London cast album. So first, let's hear Alan J. Lerner giving us his own rendition of a song cut from My Fair Lady.
Oh, come to the ball, oh, come to the ball. It wouldn't be fair to the men who'll be there to deny them all the dreams you'll supply them. There even may be a dashing marquis who feature by feature will swear you're the creature he always prayed for, single, stayed for. If you aren't there, his complete despair will be painful to see. So come to the ball, come to the ball. Come to the ball, come to the ball. With me, consider the Lord so frantically bored. He's leaving his kin and becoming an Indian Lancer, hoping danger's the answer. Your innocent glow will dazzle him so that glancing at you will restore his illusions. And as he glances, farewell, Lancers. Should he die, alas, at the Khyber Pass, what a loss it would be. So come to the ball, come to the ball. Come to the ball, come to the ball. I can see you now in a gown by Madame Worth. When you enter, every monocle will crash. I can see you now like a goddess come to earth. I can hear the lady's teeth begin to gnash. The little chaps will wish they were Atlas. A queen will want you for her son. Portly men will wish they were fatless. And the married men will wish they were un. What a triumph, through and through. What a moment, what a coup. Off by a wall, unnoticed by all, a man with a smile you could see for a mile will be standing, his dimensions expanding. The pride in his eyes will double their size as sweetly and neatly you somehow completely electrify them. Lorelei them. Search the world around, there could not be found someone prouder than he. So come to the ball, come to the ball. Come to the ball, come to the ball. With me. So.
My Fair Lady dominated the late 50s on Broadway. It opened on March 15th, 1956, became a worldwide blockbuster, ran for 2,717 performances. Wow, a record that was not beaten for quite some time, into the 60s, actually. Not too many people, as I said, covered songs. Not, I think Frank Sinatra did a song here or two, or maybe Tony Bennett did. But one person who devoted a great deal of attention to the score was Nat King Cole. Nat King Cole recorded an entire album with songs to My Fair Lady. Odd to hear him sing, say, The Rain in Spain. And it was one of the last albums he ever recorded. But here is a very jolly, swingin' version of Get Me to the Church on Time, with a little, what would I say, lanyap, a little treat thrown in at the end. Here we go, Nat King Cole.
I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. Pull out the stopper, let's have a whopper, but get me to the church on time. I got to be there in the morning, spruced up and looking in me prime. Girls, come and kiss me, show how you'll miss me, but get me to the church on time. If I'm dancing, roll up the floor. If I'm whistling, shush me out the door. For I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. Kick up a rumpus, but don't lose the compass. And get me to the church. Get me to the church. Be sure and get me to the church on time. I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. But get me to the church on time. I got to be there in the morning, spruced up and looking in my prime. And get me to the church on time. If I'm flying, then shoot me down. If I'm wooing, I get her out of town. Oh, I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. Feather and tar me, call out the army, but get me to the church. For Pete's sakes, get me to the church on time.
I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. I'll make some whoopee under the hoopee. Get me to the temple on time. Folks will be drinking by the wedding, and then they gonna say l'chaim. Must keep my promise, I told the shamus, I'll be by the temple on time. Get me some new shoes to break the glass. Tell all my old friends they can kiss my bride. I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. Tell Mr. Horvitz, editor of the Forbes, I'll be by the temple, the Scarsdale temple, the Scarsdale conservative reform. On.
That rather inevitable surprise, Get Me to the Temple on Time, was, of course, written and sung by Alan Sherman. Alan Sherman did a little kind of potted version of, inverted version of My Fair Lady, where Higgins and Pickering speak Yiddish, and they teach this wasp woman how to speak. Maybe they could, she could speak as good as me. Anyway, a little treat there from Alan Sherman. One of my favorite songs in the score from My Fair Lady is the song Show Me. It shows a variety of what Frederick Lowe could write. He wrote a kind of agitated, interesting, compelling song in 6/8 time, which you don't hear very often in a musical. This is covered by a jazz artist named Karen Allison, who's often played by my friend and colleague Bonnie Grice on her show. So here is a tip to one of my favorite Fair Ladies, Bonnie Grice, is Karen Allison singing Show Me.
Stars burning above, if you're in love, show me. Tell me no dreams filled with desire, if you're on fire, show me. Here we are together in the middle of the night. Don't talk of spring, just hold me tight. Anyone who's ever been in love can tell you that this is no time for a chat. Haven't your lips longed for my touch? Don't say how much, show me, show me. Talk of love lasting through time, make me no undying vow. Show me now. Just show me now.
Karen Allison. Well, ding dong, the bells are chiming to remind me that we're winding down this celebratory broadcast of My Fair Lady on Eliza Doolittle Day, May the 20th of May. My Fair Lady holds, I think, a cherished place in many musical theater enthusiasts' hearts. It's a very special show, sort of unmatched for intelligence and elegance of its time. It sort of brought the cloth-coated Eisenhower era to the ball rather resplendently. But its effects were pretty outstanding. Among its influences were, of course, that Rex Harrison became the first major non-singer to be the lead in a musical, and that led Good, Bad, or Indifferent to a lot of other non-singers hitting musicals, including Richard Burton and Katharine Hepburn and Lauren Bacall and so on. But it certainly expanded the dramatic possibilities of the musical. It was a blockbuster commercial success. It, as I said, ran for 6 years in New York. It ran another four on the West End at Drury Lane with Rex Harrison, Julie Andrews, and Stanley Holloway repeating their roles. And the original cast album is actually one of America's recording phenomena. It spent 480 weeks, that's right, 480 weeks on the Billboard Top 10 chart. Probably in many ways the most commercially successful record of any kind. I mean, that 480 weeks is more than the number one albums of Sinatra, Elvis Presley, and the Beatles put together in terms of their time on the chart. So that album was very much beloved by many people, and I'm sure it still sits happily in many people's record collections. Well, we're winding down our broadcast, and of course we've left out that great non-romantic romantic song, I've Grown Accustomed to Her Face, which, as Alan J. Lerner said, summed up the hardest thing to write, which is an I Love You song without the words I love you in it. Of course, unlike the play Pygmalion, Higgins' heart is melted by the memory of Eliza Doolittle. I'd like to close out this broadcast by playing a recording, sorry, not of Rex Harrison, guys, but of the Henry Higgins I first saw in the theater, Ian Richardson, in a wonderful 1976 20th anniversary revival. I think he performs this number brilliantly. He was a lovely actor. He was in House of Cards on British television. Perhaps you saw that. And another advantage of this recording is you get to hear the very end of the show. So you get to hear the lovely Christine Andreas as Eliza Doolittle. So one of the great climaxes of any show. I hope you enjoyed our broadcast. And here's Ian Richardson contending with the fact that his heart is knocking on the door of his brain. I've grown accustomed to her face.
I've grown accustomed to her face. She almost makes the day begin. I've grown accustomed to the tune she whistles night and noon. Her smiles, her frowns, her ups, her downs are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in, I was serenely independent and content before we met. Surely I could always be that way again. And yet I've grown accustomed to her looks, accustomed to her voice, accustomed to her face. Mary Freddy, I can see her now, Mrs. Freddy Ainsford Hill, in a wretched little flat above a store. I can see her now, not a penny in the till, and the bill collector beating at the door. She'll try to teach the things I taught her, and end up selling flowers instead, begging for her bread and water, while her husband has his breakfast in bed. Ah! In a year or so, when she's prematurely grey and the blossom in her cheek has turned to chalk, she'll come home and lo, he'll have upped and run away with a social climbing heiress from New York. Poor Eliza! How simply frightful! How humiliating! How delightful! How poignant it will be on that inevitable night when she hammers on my door in tears and rags, miserable and lonely, repentant and contrite. Will I let her in or hurl her to the wolves? Show her kindness or the treatment she deserves? Will I take her back or throw the baggage out? I'm a most forgiving man, the sort who never could, ever would take a position and staunchly never budge. I'm just a most forgiving man. But I shall never take her back. If she was crawling on her knees, let her shiver, let her moan, let her promise to atone. I will slam the door and let the hellcat freeze. Mary Freddy! Ha! But I'm so used to hear her say, good morning every day. Her joys, her woes, her highs, her lows are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in. I'm very grateful she's a woman and so easy to forget. Rather like a habit one can always break. And yet, I've grown accustomed to the trace of something in the air. Accustomed to her face.
I want to be a lady in a flower shop. Steady selling flowers at the corner of Tottenham Court Road. But they won't take me unless I can talk more genteel. You said you could teach me. Well, here I am, ready to pay, not asking any favour. Treats me as if I was due. I know what lessons cost, and I'm ready to pay.
It's almost irresistible. She's so deliciously low, so horribly dirty.
I washed my face and hands before I came. I did.
Eliza? Where the devil are my slippers?
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.